So let me just ask you the question. What good will it do if we take control of our words? What are the good things that happen if we take control of our words? Let me see if I can give you a few of them. One of them is, you'll become a better person. Now I want you to notice how I said that. You will become a better person. You may not change anybody around you. They may be as snotty as they ever were. But guess what? You will become a better person. Norman Vincent Peale, you remember I used a line of his a few weeks back. He said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. That's true here too. But the principle is something like this. Change your words and you'll change yourself. Here's how James said it. In James chapter 3, verse 2, he says, we all make many mistakes. We're there, right? We all make many mistakes. But those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. In other words, we will become a better person if we learn how to control the things that we say. If we learn how to control our words, then we will be better. So what if I took control of my words? Naturally, I'm going to become a better person and be more of what God wants me to be and be able to fulfill the purpose that He's given for my life even better. Do you know a key to overcoming bad habits is to start with your words and your tongue and what you say? A few weeks ago, we talked about the mind. What if I took control of my mind? It's the same kind of idea. If we are able to take control of our thoughts and our mind, then we'll be able to fulfill the purpose God has given us even more. Same thing with words. If we take control of what we say, then it will allow us to fulfill the purpose that God has given us even more. But there's a second benefit that we'll have if we take control of our words, and that is we'll build others up. Not only does it help me, it helps the people around me. If we take control of our words, the right words can help encourage other people, lift them up, minister to other people, strengthen them, build them up. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Did you catch that? Our words benefit other people. Our words build other people up. You see, words work two ways. They have the ability to tear down. We've all been there. They also have the ability to build up and encourage, to lift us up. We have the power to build up people, to make people better, to make people keep doing what they need to do. We have the words to encourage people so that they will not quit. Those words can help encourage others. You've heard me say this before. One of the greatest blessings other than becoming Christians that I think Mom and Dad gave all of us as children is they gave us encouraging words that allow us to know that we could do and accomplish anything that we set our minds to. Growing up as children, there is nothing that any of us felt that we could not do and we could not accomplish. You know where that came from? It came from parents who had encouraging words that always said, you can do it. You have the potential. You have the possibility. You're one of the smartest guys I know. You know, anything you set your mind to, you can do it. What are all of those? Encouraging words. And those encouraging words that we heard over and over again growing up allowed us to have the ability to think, guess what? We can do anything. It doesn't make any difference what it is. We can do and we can accomplish it. Turn that around the other way. How many of you know of people who have had parents who said, you can't do that. You're a dummy. You know, why in the world do you think you can do that? Guess what we have a tendency to do? To think, I can't do that. How am I going to accomplish that? I don't have the ability to do that. Whereas the ability is exactly the same. There is no difference. What's the difference? The encouraging words that build up somebody else. There's another thing that happens. When we use encouraging words, we get control of our words and we use them to build up and to encourage, we also give glory to God. And you know, that's the bottom line to this whole series that we're doing right now, is if we could get control of all of these things, the bottom line is that God will receive the glory for all the things that we do. Listen to what Psalm chapter 63 says. He says, my lips, in other words, my words, the things that I say, my words will glorify you. One of the primary reasons that we are put on this earth is to glorify God, and yes, glorify God with our words. We're called to glorify Him with our actions, certainly. But we are called to glorify Him with our words. God put a high price tag and value on the things that we say. He wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear us give glory to Him. He wants us, through the things that we say to each other, to say things that honor Him. And so through our words, we give God the glory. So, okay, we're just like we've been in the last few weeks. You go, okay, Mark, I got it. You know, words, they've got power, they can do things, they can either build up, they can tear down. There's some good things that happen with words, there's some bad things that happen with words. I got it. So how do I make all this happen? How do I put this into practice? Let me see if I can give you some principles that will help you to put them into practice. The first one is this. Don't say everything you know. Don't you wish sometimes people would just shut up? I mean, come on, be honest. You know, don't you wish that they would just shut up and not tell you everything that they know? As a matter of fact, the people you most often want to avoid are the people who know everything about absolutely everything, right? I mean, those are the people you'd rather not be around. So sometimes we just need to be careful of what we say and not tell everything we know. Proverbs chapter 17 puts it this way. A man of knowledge, now catch this, a man of knowledge, that means he knows, uses words with restraint. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all, because you don't have to say everything you know. You know, the people that are some of the worst people to be around are the people who want to make sure that you know that they know everything. Right? I mean, you get ready to, Michael, you did this last week, get ready to do a brake job, okay? You're going to do a brake job. You know, the one guy you don't want around is the guy who knows absolutely everything about doing a brake job, right? Because he probably doesn't know anything about doing a brake job. And that's true with everything. You know, it's that person who obviously knows everything about everything. Sometimes we just want to avoid. A man of knowledge, catch that. He knows it. But he uses his words with restraint. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all. Because you don't have to say everything that you know. Some of the things that I know because even though I may have had a little bit of information, I sit back and listen to others talk about the subject. And by doing that, my little bit of information expands into a large amount of information. Now, I could have jumped into the conversation and, boy, I could have run with that one about this, that, and everything, about the little bit I know, just so they knew that I knew something about everything. But my knowledge would not have grown if I had jumped in. Sometimes we just have to sit back and listen. There's another way to put this into practice, and that is, don't say everything you think. Oh, gosh, do I know people that do this one, right? You know, there are some people in this world that you know absolutely everything, every thought that goes through their mind. It is like there is no filter between their brain and their mouth. If it hits their head, it comes out of their mouth, you know? Sometimes, don't say everything you think. You know, there's an old adage that goes something like this. Better keep quiet and let people think you do not know than to open mouth and let them be assured that you do not know. You know, sometimes just don't say everything that you think. Whatever the subject comes up in conversation, whether it's the stock market or computers or criminal justice or football or politics or religion, you know, there are some people that believe they've got to have the first word in, because anything that comes to their mind, just it kind of comes out. It just kind of comes out. And oftentimes those are the people we try to avoid, right? Those are the people we'd sometimes rather run away from than be with. There are oftentimes events that happen and things that happen where we just need to be quiet. Sometimes not say the things that we think. And sometimes we need to do that, because if we say the things that we think, it may build a wall between us. We may be right, who knows? But if we say the things we think, it may build a wall between us. And we don't want to build a wall. We want our relationships to be strong relationships. We want to have the opportunity to minister to people. We want to have the ability to say things and encourage them with our words, not build walls. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 17. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. That's good, isn't it? Sometimes we just have to be quiet. You don't have to say everything you think. Before you speak, keep this principle in mind, and this may be a good principle to write down someplace. Silence looks like knowledge. So remember to think first and speak second. Then there's a third way we can kind of put this into practice, and that is, don't repeat everything you hear. Now, this is a good one right here. Don't repeat everything that you hear. The problem with repeating gossip is that there is a better than even chance that what you heard is not completely true. Gossip has a tendency to be embellished a little bit, you know? You hear something and it's a good story, but I guarantee you the story's better when you get done with it, right? And that's the way gossip is. So it's one of those things where we don't need to repeat everything that we hear. And quite frankly, gossip is one of those subjects that the Bible deals with over and over and over again that we don't talk about very often. It's one of those subjects that the Bible talks about in all sorts of different ways. And he says, be careful. Don't get caught up in the gossip. Don't get caught up repeating everything that you hear. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says this: a perverse man stirs up dissent, and a gossip separates close friends. I was talking to someone this week, and this is almost a quote of what they said. They said, you know, I know that I can tell, and I'm not going to use names, but I know that I can tell the husband this and be okay, but I don't dare tell the wife, because she tells everything. Do you want to be known as the one who tells everything? You see, sometimes getting control of our words means that we get control of the things that we know. One of the things I've often said, and this is one of the greatest blessings that God has ever given me, it's one of the greatest gifts that God has given me to do what I do in ministry, and it's this: there are a lot of things that I know about people, simply because of what I do. There are a lot of things that I know about people. People confide in me with things. And there are a lot of things I know about people. But you know one of the greatest blessings God gave me? He gave me the ability to forget. And I have a great forgetter. Now, some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't forget that. I have a great forgetter. Ask Gail. I forget all kinds of things. But that ability allows me to know those things. But when I see someone, the first thought that comes through my mind is not, oh, I can't believe that person did this, or that person that, or that person that. I forget those things. And so when it comes up in subjects, it's not even a subject matter I have to control, because, shoot, didn't make any difference anyway. I forget it. It is one of the greatest blessings, quite frankly, I think God has given me, And that's not an insensitive forgetting by any means. I know those things. But one of the greatest things that God ever gave me was the ability not to have that thought come to the forefront of my mind as soon as I see somebody and think, oh, that's that person. That's kind of what we're talking about here. You know, there are things that you know. But control those things. Don't let those things affect your relationship with the person. Don't let those things be the first things that come out of your mouth. Don't let those things be the words that get spread. Proverbs chapter 19 says, he who covers an offense promotes love. We can say that another way. People who don't say the things that they know promote love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So be careful. Don't repeat everything that you know. You know, those three steps put into practice will help get started in taking control of your words. And when you take control of your words, you're able to take control of other areas of your life. That's exactly what James said in chapter 3. We read it earlier. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongue can also control themselves in every other way. So this week, here's your assignment. You ready? Try to take those three steps and put them into practice. You know, when you hear something, just kind of walk away. Or if you know something about someone, don't repeat it. Or when there's a conversation that gets started at work this week, and it will happen, where everybody's kind of throwing in all their thoughts and all their ideas, sometimes just stand back and just listen. You don't have to throw your opinions in all the time. You don't have to throw your thoughts in all the time. You know, just stand back and just listen a little bit about what's going on and what's happening, and don't say everything that you know. Sometimes just don't say everything you know. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. This is one of those subjects that runs two ways. It's one of those subjects that for some of us, we walk out of here this morning and we go, man, my toes were really stepped on today, right? But it's also one of those subjects that we look around at other people and we say, I know people just like that. But I'm going to go back to what you've heard me say before, and that's this. You know, there's only one person in this world that I can do anything about. You know who that person is? It's me. I can't do anything about any of you. I can't do anything about people in my family. I can't do anything about friends. I cannot do anything about any of them. Now, I can love them and encourage them and all those things, but I can't do anything about any of them. There's only one person in this world that I can do anything about, and that's me. So my responsibility is to take control of my words. Let's pray. God, thank you for the encouragement that your word gives us. We know it's a struggle for us sometimes to take control of our words and to do the things that you want us to do, but I'm just thankful that you encourage us to do that and help us to take control of those words in our lives every day. And as we take control of the words, we know that the rest of the control of who we are will also fall in line. That's what your word tells us and encourages us with. Just help us to realize that we are yours. We've heard you. And therefore, we are to respond to you in our words and our actions and deeds and our lives to fulfill your purpose. And help us do that in all that we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We stand up. We're going to close this morning by singing, I Am Thine, O Lord. And I thought it was just a good song to close with, talking about what we've talked about. Because the bottom line is, when we remember whose we are, it will change our words and change our speech and change our action. So think about that while you sing this morning. Think about just belonging to Him and what that does to influence our lives.
I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice and it told Thy law to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
So this week, what are we all going to do? Watch what we say in the people around us.